you're a guest visiting church for the first time today, my name's Jeff. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're studying through the book of Luke. And what you'll probably notice right away is it looks a little bit different in here. Today is a really special day in our church. I'll explain to you why as we go along. But to start the sermon today, I want to introduce you to a name that I think every one of you in this room need to be aware of. It's the name John A. Broadus. Broadus was a pretty important man in our denomination. He was a pastor, a theologian. He was the president of the First Seminary, and he had a massive influence in who we are as a denomination. When he was the president of Southern Seminary, Broadus invited some professors, some visiting professors, to come and to lecture at Southern Seminary. Now, this is the Old South, and this is many years ago, and in the Old South many years ago, it was a custom for visiting dignitaries, visiting people of great importance, to stay at the host's home. So they were invited to stay at Dr. Broadus's home. It was also the custom in the Old South for men especially to place their shoes outside their bedroom door before they went to bed. And then one of the servants in the house, sometime during the course of the night, would pick up the shoes, would polish the shoes, and the next morning, when these folks got up and got ready to go to do whatever they were doing the next day, those shoes were polished and ready to go. For about a week, Broadus had this eminent professor speaking in lectures at the seminary. And for about a week, this professor would place his shoes outside the door of his bedroom before he went to bed. And the next morning, sure enough, they were shined and ready to go for him to go to school the next day. The last day of the lectures, this man wanted to show gratitude. And so he waited up late into the night and he listened for the sounds of somebody stepping outside the doors to pick up his shoes. And when he opened the doors to personally thank this servant for shining his shoes each night, he was shocked to see it was John A. Broadus, the president of the school, shining his shoes personally. You see, Broadus understood something that all of us as believers in Jesus should understand, that our King came to earth not to be served, but to serve others, and we have a responsibility to serve others as well. In fact, you will hear me say it today, you are never more like Jesus than when you're serving somebody else, especially somebody who can't repay you. So today we're going to be in the book of Luke. We're going to look at two things from the book of Luke. I got two challenges for you today as we get ready to get started. But if you call yourself a Christian, if you say that Jesus is your Lord, that very word means that you are his servant and you serve the King by serving other people. So if you got that paper worship guide with you, here's the first thing that I want you to write down. Luke chapter 14 is where we're going to be today. And the first thing that I want you to see from the book of Luke is why we should serve Jesus on Sunday. Jesus is the guest of honor in this church every single Sunday. He is the one that we make much about. Listen to what happens when Jesus is invited to a dinner party on the Sabbath in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 1. One Sabbath day, that's the equivalent of the Lord's Day or Sunday in our day today. One Sabbath day, Jesus went to eat dinner in the home of a leader of the Pharisees. And the people were watching him closely. Now, the reason they were watching Jesus is because they wanted to see him or hear him make a mistake. And you'll learn later in the book of Luke, they were looking for a reason to murder this guy. Verse 2. There was a man there whose arms and legs were swollen. Jesus asked the Pharisees and the experts in the religious law, is it permitted in the law to heal people on the Sabbath or not? And when they refused to answer Jesus, he touched the sick man and he healed him and sent him away. Then he turned to them and said, which of you doesn't work on the Sabbath? If your son or your cow falls into a pit, don't you rush to get him out? And again, they could not answer Jesus. I mean, Jesus is a pretty popular guy. Here's what we've heard from the book of Luke so far. He gets invited to a lot of dinner parties. At this point in the book of Luke, he's been invited to 6 different dinner parties. But today, Luke is stressing the importance of what's okay, what's not okay to do on Sunday. What's appropriate rules for the Sabbath? It's so important to Jesus, it's so important to Luke, that this is now the third time in the book of Luke that we've heard stories about what's okay to do, what's not okay to do on the Sabbath. And the Jewish leadership, the Pharisees, these religious experts in the law, they created all kinds of laws about what you're supposed to do or what you're not supposed to do on the Sabbath. Don't hear me wrong. Jesus honors God's Sabbath, but he does not follow the rules that men created about this Sabbath. That's what this story is trying to explain to us. A guy shows up. It's not uncommon in Jesus' day that somebody shows up who's in great need at this dinner party, and this man probably has dropsy. And Jesus heals him. Now, I want to remind you, Jesus doesn't have to touch the man to heal him. He can just speak the words. He's already showed this to us from Luke. He can just speak the words and the man is healed. But Jesus intentionally touches him and intentionally heals him, and he does it on the Sabbath. And by doing this, all of those people that are in that room watching him are highly offended. They're furious with Jesus because now he's just done work on the Lord's day, and they have rules about not working on the Lord's day. But here's what makes me crazy about this passage that we're reading. The Sabbath is God's gift to people. It was God saying, I don't want my people to work themselves to death, and so I'm going to give them one day of the week where they don't have to work, where they can just enjoy my presence and they can rest on the Sabbath. Who was the Sabbath created for in the first place? It was created for us, God's people. But what really makes me crazy about this passage is who's the one that created the Sabbath? Whose idea was this in the very first place? Let me hear you. It was Jesus' idea. And here are these religious leaders looking at Jesus and trying to see, Jesus, are you going to follow our rules for the Sabbath or not? And Jesus just blows the rules, their rules, out of the water. I mean, Jesus had every right to stand up and to say, look, y'all, I created this whole thing called the Sabbath in the first place, and here's how it's supposed to go. But notice, he doesn't do that. He chooses to serve somebody on Sunday rather than point all of the attention to himself. Like I said a minute ago, you are never more like Jesus than when you're serving somebody, especially somebody who can't do for themselves and can't repay you for what you're doing for them. As a church, we serve for the glory of God, and we serve for the good of other people. But to be honest, we also serve for ourselves. Listen, you need this, and I need this. You need to be serving others. I need to be serving others. This helps you take the attention off of you on Sundays. It helps you to remember it's not all about your desires. It's not all about your preferences. It's not all about your wants. What we do in this room, what we do on this campus on Sundays, it is a gift of service to King Jesus. And there are a lot of people who serve, hundreds of people who serve to make what happens around here on Monday through or on Sunday morning a success. Now, our idea, our model of ministry as a church is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. In fact, if you got something to write, write this scripture reference down in your notes. Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. And then I want you to go back after church today and to read this passage again. Here's what Ephesians 4 says about us as a church. And frankly, this is how every church is supposed to operate. Not all of them do, but this is how it's supposed to happen in church. Ephesians 4, verse 11 says, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to his church, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Verse 11 says, Jesus gave positions of leadership as gifts to the church, not as an end unto themselves. But listen carefully, pay close attention to what it says in verse 12 now. Verse 12 says, their responsibility, these pastors and prophets and evangelists and teachers, their job, verse 12, is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. What Ephesians says is it's the people that are supposed to be doing the ministry in the church. Of course, the pastors and elders and staff are members of the church, and they're supposed to be doing the work of the church too. But the first level of ministry should always be the people of the church. It's not the paid professionals doing all of the work and the people sitting back watching them. And as a result, we teach around here, when you go to the hospital, the very first face that you should see is somebody from your life group. If you had a death in the family like Crystal and Andy did, the first people that we would want them to see today at this visitation is the church members saying, we love you, we're here to minister to you and to serve you. That's the way the church serves the church. That's the way that every church is supposed to function. If you reverse the order, stuff doesn't get done because God's people are not involved in the ministry. So what we're going to do next is a party. We tried to do this during the last hour. I hope you were part of it. In fact, if you weren't part of that party in the last hour, you really missed out. But maybe you noticed, I don't know if it's escaped your attention, maybe you noticed that there are balloons and red carpet in the room today. And the reason is because the biggest Sunday of the year in this church is Easter Sunday. But the second biggest Sunday of the year is this Sunday. This is the Sunday where we call a lot of people up on stage and we say thank you to a lot of people. In fact, I'm going to show you some statistics before we're done today that are just going to absolutely amaze you at the numbers of people that are serving in our church. And so we're going to start to bring some people up on stage, and this is your chance, church, just to thank people for serving you on Sunday. And the first group of people that I need to bring up on stage, well, the first group of volunteers that really share a heavier load and don't get paid one penny, all the people that you see on the stage in just a moment don't get paid one penny for what they do, is Jason and Sarah Ketchum. So Jason and Sarah lead our Awanas. Will you guys come up here? And if you're part of the Awana ministry, why don't you come on up and join Jason and Sarah up here on stage? Come on.
As they're coming up, I just wanted to thank all of our volunteers. It usually takes probably around 30 or so folks to make Wednesday nights happen. And without all of y'all, whether you run a kiosk, whether you run a class, game time, whatever it is, we really, really appreciate all that you guys do. And when Jeff asked us to take over as commanders, you know, I was nervous at first, but you know, we talked about it, and it's because of the strong group of volunteers that we have is the only reason that we're able to do what we do on Wednesday. So with that being said, on behalf of the church, on behalf of Sarah and I, we want to thank each and every one of you guys, and I'd like to say a quick prayer for y'all. Dear Lord, thank you for the sacrifice, Lord, that our volunteers make to make Awana the success it is, Lord. I pray that you would be with each family, Lord, that's represented. And also bless those that are not able to be here today. All these things we ask in your name. Amen. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.
If you work in the children's ministry department, that's vacation Bible school workers, small group leaders, 11 o'clock workers, nursery workers, any of the preschool people, all the elements, y'all come on down. Walk the red carpet. Y'all deserve to walk the red carpet. This is a great group of people. As you'll see, it's a lot of them. There was a lot in the 8:30 service. It takes a lot to make this ministry work. A great team. These guys are truly amazing. Of course, on Sunday, some Sundays, they would love just to sit back and come to church, worship and leave and not have to work, but they don't. They love King Jesus enough and this church to make a difference in the lives of our children. They care enough for the families, for us, for the children, to mentor them, to disciple them, to teach them, to love them, to witness to them, and to make an impact on their lives. And these children will, in turn, make an impact on this city and ultimately on the nation. But the most important thing is, guys, you've made an impact on their lives. They're going to spend eternity because you partnered with their families and helped teach them and make a difference in their life. You know, personally, I've been here about 20 years in this congregation, in this church family, and they partnered with me and Brenda to make a difference in the life of my daughter, and now they're making a difference in the life of my two granddaughters. And for that, I certainly do personally thank you. They make a huge sacrifice to do what they do, and they do it because they love Calvary, They love King Jesus. They love these children. I just want you to know how much I appreciate you, how much I am honored to serve with you each and every Sunday. I love you all. Church, will you join me in thanking these people? They deserve it.
Hey, good morning, everybody. If you serve with the Hub, come on up. You don't have to wait any longer. I know you've been anxiously waiting to get up here. If you serve in the Hub, come on up. The Hub is our student ministry at Calvary. We serve students in grades 6 through 12 and their families. My name's Frank. I'm the student pastor around here, and I get to serve alongside these awesome individuals as well as others who couldn't be here today. But what's unique about this bunch is serving in the Hub looks different for everybody on stage up here, which is really cool. For some, they're small group leaders, and they teach small groups on Wednesday or on Sunday, or they teach Bible studies throughout the week off-site, and that's one aspect of what we get to do. For others, it's the I go on trips and I drive, or I'm a leader on a trip, which is great, whether it's a weekend getaway to Atlanta or an entire week's worth of summer camp. We need those folks too. Or for some, it's the host home for the middle school party that we need to crash. And that's huge, which is great. For others, it's I got construction skills and I can build things, and you have needs inside the Hub that need to get built, and they can do that part. And there's also cooks, which is really important so we don't starve on said retreats and things and getaways. That's a major deal for us in the Hub. When you have teenagers, you have to feed them. And then there's that category of the whatever you need guy or gal. And those are always so vital and critical to have in youth ministry, just for someone to say, whatever you need, I'll do anything. And I love being able to serve with folks like these ones right here behind me and others that couldn't be here today. And what's unique for us, if you've been around Calvary for any length of time, you know that on the first Sunday of each month, we recognize our volunteer of the month. And today is the first Sunday of the month on Volunteer Celebration Day. The Hub gets the honor of recognizing our Volunteer of the Month, and that is Robert Papenfuss. He is my whatever you need guy, which is awesome. He was here this morning at 8:30, but he is home with his newborn now during this service, so his wife can have a little bit of a break this morning. So Robert's not here, but Robert Papenfuss is our Volunteer of the Month, so he'll get the primo parking spot that I'm sure I'll steal a couple of times because we're buds and we go way back, and I'll do that. Here's what's interesting. Even though they all serve in different capacities, they all have a common theme or a common thing in common, and that's they love Jesus by serving his church. And I can't thank you guys enough for how you do that in the ways that you're skilled and you're passionate about. And I want you to know I thank you so much for choosing to serve in the Hub and serving alongside of me. That's awesome. Our families are better and our students are better because of you guys serving Jesus, loving Jesus, and serving his church. So thank you so much. Church, will you tell them thank you too? Thank you, guys. You're awesome. See ya.
All right. Can we have all of our music team people, if you've ever served on a Sunday morning with music or tech or babysitting for during rehearsal, you can go ahead and come on up. That'd be great, too, if you've gotten music together for us. There's a lot of us that get spread out, and there's a lot of us that aren't here because I make people stay home sometimes. Because I was figuring out earlier, if you volunteer in the tech or music department, you are very likely to be on this campus for an extra 10 hours a week above your normal schedule with rehearsals and things. Lots of long, late Thursday nights and lots of long, early Sunday mornings, but they do it with smiles, and I couldn't be more appreciative. There's people up in the booth that you might get to see here in a minute. They're going to try to put themselves up on the screen. Yeah, they're there. So we have a lot of different people here at Calvary. I don't know if you know that. There's a lot of people in the room with a lot of different preferences and different things that they like and different things that they need. And the battle for that often ends up happening during music. And so I have the pleasure of serving with these people who have decided that our preferences and our needs and our wants are laid down to be sure that the people of Calvary Baptist Church worship passionately, not only on Sunday morning, but also on Monday morning and Tuesday morning and every day of the week. that's what's important to us, and it's a pleasure to serve with them each and every week. And there's a lot more that couldn't be here this morning, but that's okay. So please help me recognize these fine ladies and gentlemen who are in this, and up there, and the kids. Thank you. 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 Thank you.
If you have served or worked in something along with me in the creative or the arts, the photography, videography, on-screen talent, need to know videos. Come on, Tam. Worked writing on our website, do some design work, et cetera. Come on down. I have the wonderful privilege of working with sort of the creative arts, the communication arts, and people who like to either act and, you know, be on the camera, or people who like to be behind things and just sort of write and illustrate and design. I believe that everyone is created with a certain characteristic that God wove into the very fabric of what it means to be a human being. And I believe that he wove into the fabric of mankind part of his attribute of creativity. We're all creative. We all have the ability to exercise creativity in some form or fashion, some with design, some with writing, some with acting, some with performance. In some way, others may be within business and with numbers and all the others, but we're creative. And I appreciate you guys willing to use the creativity that God has instilled in you and to use that for the glory of God and to make his name known. It is wonderful to see. Most of the time, the guys and gals that are part of my team, the stuff that they do, you get to see. But for the most part, you don't know who did it. It just shows up and it's done, and they're kind of behind-the-scenes workers, and you're glad that they've done it, and it looks good, and you can appreciate it. But you don't know who did it. And this is them. They've done it, and I'm such a grateful to be able to minister alongside them. So, guys, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for serving our church. Thank you for serving our community and using the gifts and talents that God has given you to make his name known. And I appreciate it. So thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Good morning. I'd like to honor all of you who serve. Come on up, because you know who you are. If you serve with us through hospitality, through transportation, or security, we couldn't do it without these people, and I'm so honored to stand up here and honor them. We had several in the 8:30 service. We have some that are serving right now that are still out in the cafeteria. This group is small, but I tell you, they are substantial in what they do. They serve without status, and they serve with great significance. They do it for just a couple of reasons, not to stand up here, but they do it so that all of us here can worship without worry. Can you imagine coming here on Sunday morning and not having your donut or your coffee? Yeah, I won't show up if it's not here. Can you imagine? There are some of you here right now. The reason you're here is because someone picked you up this morning. There are balloons here because someone took their time to hang them. All of our parties, all of our fellowships, all of the beautiful decor that you see during the holiday seasons, it's all for you. It's all so that you can come in and enjoy your worship time. But at the end of the day, it's really to glorify God. They do this for him. They do this for his church. They do it for the kingdom's work, because they, like all volunteers, just want to give back. And so we appreciate all that you do, and thank you for continuing to serve us.
Okay, I have a couple of groups that I don't have a lot of groups that I want to bring up on stage. If Mike and Kathy Brown, who lead the young adults, are here, come up on stage. Chris and Tom Tootin, if you're here, come up on stage, who lead our young adult, or I mean our young in heart, our older adults here. If you're a greeter, if you're an usher, if you are part of a, if you're a life group leader, if you're one of our elders, would you please walk the red carpet and come up and join me up on stage right now, which is a ton of people in this church. Come on up. Lots and lots of people. Many of them are leading these ministries with very little pastoral oversight. They've just said, hey, I care passionately about this, so we're going to take it and we're going to run with it, Jeff. And they have done just that. And I have, I just had the privilege of saying thank you to a lot of people that are up here on stage today. I want you to hear something from me for this group that's up on stage, not just this group of ladies and guys, but also all of the groups that you've seen up here on stage. They are putting love into action. What you saw with Jesus at this dinner party on the Sabbath was a guy was in need, and Jesus put love into action. What you see with these folks that are on the stage and the other folks that have been up here on the stage is saying, we want the world, we want the Chattahoochee Valley, we want this church to we want them to know that Jesus has made a difference in our lives, and we want to try to make a difference in their lives. And so I just want to personally say thank you. For those of you who lead in many ways in our church, thank you very much for what you do around here. Thank you all. You can go ahead and grab a seat. We got more sermon to go, so buckle your seatbelts and hang on. You saw Jesus serving somebody on Sundays. We're supposed to be serving Jesus' church on Sundays, but you also see Jesus serving Monday through Saturday. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you should be serving somehow, some way, Monday through Saturday. And I would suggest serving in your place of work or at school or in your neighborhood, serving in your own native environment Monday through Saturday during the week. So listen to what happens next from the book of Luke in chapter 14. Listen to this dinner party conversation that Jesus has next. And I want you to file this away. Do me a favor and file this passage away for next month when we start talking about Thanksgiving next month. Here's how it goes. When Jesus noticed all that had come to the dinner party were trying to sit in the seats of honor near the head table, he gave them this advice. Jesus is observant. He sees what's happening in the room, and he uses what's happening right in front of him to teach a lesson about the kingdom of God and to teach a lesson about humility. So listen to what he says next. When you're invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the seat of honor. What if someone says, someone who is more distinguished than you has also been invited? The host will come and say, give this person your seat. Now, in a typical middle-class Jewish home in Jesus' day, the living room, the only furniture consisted of three cushions. And the center cushion was the cushion where the person could see everybody else in the room pretty easily. So that center cushion was considered the seat of honor. Jesus is in at this dinner party, and apparently people are vying for who's more important. It's like a banquet where there's a speaker's table, and it looks like all the people at the speaker's table are really important, and then everybody else, all the rest of us, are little peons. Well, that's happening in this room with Jesus, and he gives them these instructions. And he basically asks the question, which is better, to be publicly humiliated or to be publicly honored? Listen to what he says next. Then you will be embarrassed, and you'll have to take whatever seat is left at the foot of the table. Instead, take the lowest place at the foot of the table. And then when your host sees you, he'll say, friend, we have a better place for you. Then you will be honored in front of the other guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is a discussion about humility. And at this dinner party, people are comparing themselves and how important they are to the other people in the room. When we come to a church on Sundays, Jesus is the guest of honor. But we also try to honor people who are walking in the doors of a church for the first time in their life. We want them to understand who Jesus is and what he's done for them. And so much of what we do on Sundays is to help explain the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves sinners to them. in this account, there are people that are saying, I should really be in the most important place, and others that are saying, no, I should be sitting in the most important seat. And Jesus is kind of saying, this is crazy, y'all. Which would you rather have? In a very public setting, would you rather somebody humble you and say that you're not nearly as important as you think you are, or would you rather them honor you and say, hey, you really should be sitting in the better seat? And everybody in this room who has any common sense would say, I would much rather be honored publicly than humbled publicly or humiliated publicly. Here's what Jesus says next. Then he turned to his host. When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, he said, don't be that guy, don't be that gal who just does it because you want people to do it for you. When you put on a banquet or a luncheon, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor. Invite the crippled. Invite the lame. Invite the blind. And then, at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Jesus says, come on, y'all. I know the type where you just give gifts on Christmas and at birthdays because you want somebody to give you a gift in return. You just do something for somebody because you want them to do it for you in return. Don't be that person. My church, my people are supposed to be the ones that serve those who can't do anything for you in return. And by the way, when you do that, God sees it. God knows it. God will reward it. In fact, what the language that Jesus uses up here, first time we've seen this language in the book of Luke, is there is a resurrection of the righteous. And when God's people who do stuff for folks who cannot pay you back in return, have nothing to give you in return, when God's people serve like that, you will be rewarded. But you're going to be rewarded by God, not by the people who give back to you because you gave to them. And Jesus says, that's really the reward that you're looking for. Servants of God are looking for a reward. And that reward is to hear their king say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been a faithful and a good servant. And now I'm going to give you your eternal reward. I'm going to reward you forever for what you've done for my people. And by the way, Jesus says, when you just give a cup of cold water to somebody who's in need, you've really done it for me when you've done it for the least of people. And what I want to do now is I want to recognize people that are serving in our community. They are making an impact in the Chattahoochee Valley, outside the walls of this church, or they're making an impact in our state, in our country, or around the world. So if you're part of these groups that I'm about to read off, I want you to walk the red carpet and come back up here on stage, will you? If you have anything to do with college ministry, come up on stage. If you've been partnering with Benning Hills Baptist Church, come up on stage. If you've been one of those ladies who've been at the hospital doing Calvary Cares and praying for folks in the hospital, come up on stage. If you've had anything to do with crew ministry on Fort Benning, come on stage. If you're part of the Thor ministry here in town or foster care ministry on town and nobody is moving right now, come up on stage. What's the deal? All right, how about this? Come on up, please come up on stage. If you've been partnering with our church in a local, a state, or an international mission trip, which means if you were part of the Mogadishu Mile last night or if you're going with us to India tomorrow, I want you to come up and join us on stage. If you're having anything to do with missions, with finishing the mission of God here in the Chattahoochee Valley, around the country, around the world, would you please join us up on stage? What you see on stage, folks, are the people that are serving on behalf of our church, for Calvary Baptist Church, in the Chattahoochee Valley or around the world. And as a church, we believe that it is our responsibility to carry out the Great Commission. In fact, what we believe as a church is it is our goal to finish the Great Commission, to finish the mission of God, to complete the Great Commission in our lifetime. We start right here in our church, and we want it to spread outside the walls of our church. So you see folks on this stage that are serving in Fort Benning. You see ladies on our stage that are visiting people in the hospital and praying with folks that don't go to church anywhere. It spreads around the state, and you see folks that have gone on mission trips around the state and around the nation, And you see people on this stage that have gone overseas and spent a great deal of their own money and their own vacation time to go try to make Jesus known all over the world. And I think, folks, they deserve a great round of applause. So would you just tell them thank you. Thank you all very much for what you do. You can grab a seat. Here's some statistics that you will find fascinating, or at least I find fascinating. Over the course of the last year, on average, our average Sunday attendance in two services are 631 people, approximately. I say approximately because there's actually a percentage point, but we're not going to count that percentage point of a person. And if you were in both services collectively, what you would have seen today is 298 different people serving in this church. I'll do the math for you. That means 47% of the regular attenders of this church are serving in this church or on behalf of this church in the community or around the world. 64 people in our church are doing more than one thing. You saw them on this stage more than once. 17 people in our church are doing 3 or 4 or 5 things around here, and they might as well just stay up here and have a seat today. And frankly, if it wasn't for them, there would be 100 more. We would take 100 more people to do what those 17 are doing in our church. By far, Awana, by the way, we're one of the largest Awana programs in the state of Georgia. I think right now we're number 2 or number 3 in the entire state of Georgia. Awana, kids, elementary, nursery, students, if you were to add all of those volunteers together, you're talking about 42% of all of the people that are volunteering are doing it with kids around here. We're a church that makes a really big deal out of discipling children and raising them up to be future godly men and women and followers of Christ. And that's one of the reasons why you see so many young families here. 18% of the people that are volunteering today that you saw on stage, they've gone somewhere out of their comfort zone and gone on a mission trip. They have taken it upon themselves to help finish the mission of God in our lifetime by introducing people in our community or around the world to King Jesus. And I hope it's been overwhelmingly obvious today, we couldn't do, no church can do what they do if it isn't for an army of volunteers. And we believe we owe you one Sunday just as a way of saying thank you. So what I'm going to do next is I'm going to pray for us. And I'm going to ask some of you in this room to take the next steps today. But then I'm going to tell you the results of people volunteering around here. I want to give you a very visible reminder of why people volunteer around here. So why don't you bow? Let me say a quick prayer for us before we move on to this next part of the service. Father, thank you so much for the men and women that have been on this stage, either at the first service or today. Thank you for the hundreds, literally hundreds of people who serve faithfully in this church on Sunday or serve in our community and around the world during the week. And God, I pray that you bless your servants and you would give them help them to understand how much we appreciate who they are and what they do for us. But I pray that they enjoy the greatest reward that any human being will ever have for giving a gift of service. I pray that they are able to stand before you and to hear you speak with your own voice face to face to them and hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm proud of you for the work that you've given. God, maybe somebody is in this church and they're realizing all that goes on around here is for the purpose of introducing them to Jesus. Maybe they understand for the first time in their life a need for Jesus as Savior. Maybe they need to nail this down in the form of a simple prayer. If that's the case, Father, would you help them to find me, find one of our other pastors, one of the folks that are on this stage, and ask them, how can I give my life to Jesus Christ today? Maybe there's some folks in our church, God, that are focused on them and only on them. And today they realize there is a lot of people that come every Sunday. And we try to worship King Jesus in a way that many people from different generations and different genders and different colors of skin can all say, this church is as much my church as anybody else's. God, would you help us to be thankful for the folks that serve us this week and every week? And I pray these things in King Jesus' name. Amen.